This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Pete, and good morning to the rest of you. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nats. And today, your only way to follow and track a very important divisional baseball game, because there is no televised Nats ball game on Masson. 106.7 The Fan will be your exclusive home in town on radio or TV to track the game. So make sure you're listening to Charlie and Dave just after 1 o'clock, 3 hours from now for the first pitch. Their pregame is 2.5 hours away. That is why we are posted up at Nationals Park, where soon enough, Danny, a few thousand fans are going to storm through the gates to see Greg Gibson umpire third base today, everybody.
Man.
Very exciting.
The Steven Strasburg debut. You go back to Jordan Zimmermann's no-hitter, Max Scherzer's no-hitter, Jason Worth's walk-off, and the Greg Gibson game. Keep your ticket stubs. Congrats to everybody that was here tonight to see Greg Gibson. Greg Gibson, everybody.
Third base
tonight. Greg Gibson's here.
So when you come into the ballpark, you're going to want to try to get a seat if you're buying it at the gate. On the third base side, that's where he'll be. Get as close down to the tarp and the railing as possible. And if you're lucky, if you call his name enough, maybe, just maybe, the great Greg Gibson will turn around and look at you. Maybe he'll flash you a smile or point. He might even throw you a baseball or give you an autograph between innings if you are lucky enough.
Back in February, Grant, I'm at the turn in the end of the second round, right? I've already got Angel Hernandez, okay? I've already got Jerry Lane. Somehow, Greg Gibson's available to me in my third-round umpire fantasy draft. I got Greg Gibson, dude. So I got so many fantasy points from Greg Gibson last night for throwing out a 19-year-old kid.
You're not going to believe this.
Joe Simpson is 19 years old.
You're not going to believe this, Danny. I flew cross-country once. I went to Texas because there was a convention, an umpire's convention, where you were able to bring your favorite umpire's card and get it signed. And I waited in line for 3 hours for about 967 people in front of me to get their signatures.
Right.
And when they had and when they did, like an ANN store with Gus Frerotte in the 90s in Fredericksburg, young Grant Paulson stepping up to get that signature on that Redskins rubber football, I handed my card to Greg Gibson and I said, "Greg, you're my favorite, man. You're the reason I come to the ballpark. I hope you eject 19-year-old superstar Juan Soto at some point this season, because I come
hope
for
he gets
you.
A chance, right?
I want it to be about you as often as possible." Did you see the comment from Juan Soto last night, by the way, after his ejection? This was my favorite thing ever. Juan Soto was talking with reporters, and he wasn't honestly being disrespectful. He was – we had him on the show. He speaks decent English, and for a 19-year-old from the Dominican, he speaks exceptional English.
Who didn't speak it 2 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's kind of one of those barrier things where he was – it was almost cute, if I could say that. But he said – he was being asked about the ejection. He's never been ejected at any level before, ever, in his entire life, he said. But what happened was, in case you guys aren't following or tracking what's going on, Soto comes up to the plate after a bad strike three call a previous at-bat. And he was just the latest National to be the victim of a bad strike three call. Two straight days, both teams being screwed over by a bad strike zone. And Soto comes up to the dish, and he does something that most of the time you're not supposed to do. But, again, it's a dumb unwritten rule. I don't even know if it's an unwritten rule. It's not a big deal.
Well, in the Marty Foster Memorial Rule Book, it's a written rule.
Right.
Unwritten rule.
So he steps into the batter's box, and he says, "Hey, that pitch was inside and down on that last at bat." And so right away, Greg Gibson's not going to have this.
Nah, it's Greg Gibson's day.
He rips off his mask and says, "What did you say to me, boy?" And Juan Soto said, "Well, I said the pitch was inside." And Gibson says, "You can't come up here talking about the last at bat." And he ejects him. Mm-hmm. Who says you can't do that? My favorite thing about that sequence was when Davey Martinez came out, too late, by the way, after Soto had been ejected already. And he hadn't come out earlier when other players were having a lot of issues. And he walked out, and Gibson looks at him and says, "He told me." Because this is all – you could easily lip-read it. Masson had great shots all night long. He goes, "He told me about the last at-bat. He's trying to talk about the last at-bat." And Davey Martinez goes, "Okay." I thought that was great.
Which is excellent.
You know, like, And?
Uh-huh.
So that's why you ejected him?
Then what happened, Greg?
So Soto in the clubhouse last night, this is what I love. This is what I wanted to bring up. So he's asked about it, and he says, you know, they asked him, what did you say to him? He said, the pitch before was a ball. And he said, when asked why were you, you know, telling him the pitch before was a ball, the quote was, I wanted to help him be better. And he said it in a way that was not angry or divisive. He was honestly saying, like, I was giving him feedback on, I'm helping him with the strike zone. It was one of the funniest quotes of the year.
It was perfect. Now, lest people accuse us of this, that's not why the Nationals lost the game. They lost because Tommy Malone. The two-start run was delightful. That's over now. 7-0 before you could kind of bat an eye, or 7-1 rather, before you could kind of bat an eye.
With Nationals an assist, uphill, by the way, yeah, to 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position.
Right. Had their chance in the first inning to kind of blow it open. Who knows if it's a different game, but Tommy Malone wasn't going to give you another charmed life start against the club that could really swing it like the Braves. Ronald Acuna, by the way, is a star. Juan Soto has a great shot at winning Rookie of the Year because Acuna was hurt. But if that guy played the whole season, man, oh, man, he is absolutely special. He's incredible. But now the Nats are in a position where they've got to win this game, right?
I think so.
I mean, is it overstated that they have to win it? I mean, because there's still 50 games left, and they play the Braves and Phillies some more. But and they could have, you know, the Phillies lost last night as well. But, man, oh, man, it just feels like they need this one.
Well, I told you, if they lost 3 out of 4, at least for the moment, I would close the book on them being a division champion. Now, that's not to say they can't open that book back up if they were able to rip off 9 of 10 and sweep the Phillies and sweep the Braves next time they play them. But for the moment, with a rotation made up of Hellickson and Malone and Gio Gonzalez, who throws with your season in some ways on the line today, and it's a little bit overstated and hyperbolic, but that's where we are, that's not that great of a rotation. Your bullpen now is without Kinsler and Kelly, who are in Chicago and Oakland respectively, and Herrera and Doolittle, who are on the DL.
No,
and all of a sudden, Greg Holland is going to be your important setup man, who's got an ERA over 7 this year and walks a batter per inning just about.
Eesh.
So on paper right now, this team's not great. And that goes along anecdotally with not just how they've been playing in this series, but 2 straight losses to a team they are chasing. They got to win today. We'll get into that at 10:30, a little bit later in the hour. We got to start the show, because it's a Redskins game day, with preseason game number 1, though, Danny. And we will get back into the Nats early and often. In 20-plus minutes from now, we'll get your calls. But it is preseason game 1 tonight. It is here. The Redskins season has arrived. Real-life tackle, authentic football is going to be played for a few hours this evening. Here's the way we can open up the show at 800-636-1067. Redskins Patriots in Foxborough. You're not going to see much of the champions. You're not going to see any or much of Tom Brady in this offense and defense that's going to end up competing for a Super Bowl this year. So I don't know, frankly, how big of a litmus test this really is going to be, other than perhaps for a drive for Washington. I've already been in contact this morning with Craig Hoffman trying to get a good feel for which Redskins are going to be out. And it sounds like Jamison Crowder, DJ Swearinger have been ruled out. Trent Williams is unlikely to play, so is Morgan Moses. I don't think Josh Doctson will go. And then there's some other guys down the roster, he said, like Josh Harvey, Clemens, and Brian Quick dealing with some injuries who may not go. But of the players who are expected to go tonight and who are going to play extensively, who are you most excited to watch? That is the question we will open up the show with right now at 800-636-1067. At 11:30, we're going to talk rookie quarterbacks around the NFL with Sage Rosenfels. But before we do that, Danny, other than Greg Gibson at third base today, who are you most excited to see when you turn the page over to the Redskins tonight? That's what I want to know. That's what Danny wants to know on The Fan. 800-636-1067.
I want to see the guys I haven't seen before in Redskins uniforms. This is our first look. The thing I value the most on this planet, aside from the emotional stuff of loved ones and whatever, I love information. Information is so lovely. It should never be treated harshly. You can judge the information based on its merit. You can decide how important it is or isn't to you, but information is just information. I want data. I have no data on Paul Richardson in a Redskins uniform. I've got no data on some of these young players, like Trey Quinn. I've got very little data on Robert Davis. I've got very little data on Cam Sims. Very little data on Darius Geis.
You care about Cam Sims, guy?
Not really.
Okay.
But I care about I want information. I want data points. I want points of reference. I want comparison. I want and crave the information. I hate preseason football for a million reasons. Put that aside for a second. Tonight is the first chance to get information about some of these young players and some of these guys that weren't Redskins before this year.
If you're not excited to see Darius Geis, I don't know what to tell you. Darius Geis is the most hyped and pumped-up Redskins prospect in years at this point. We talked about this yesterday. Last player, non-quarterback division, drafted to this team that was as much a media circus and a fan-scrutinized, positively in this case, fan-beloved player. I mean, you got to go back maybe to LeVar Arrington in 2000, maybe Sean Taylor in 04, Champ Bailey in 99. This is a guy who rushed for 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns in the SEC in 2016, who had 3,000 yards over two-plus seasons getting the ball with the Tigers at LSU. I cannot wait to see Darius Geis on offense. Defensively, we're not going to see Daron Payne, obviously. He's been injured and not practicing. John Allen is back, though. Ideally, we're going to get a couple series of John Allen tonight, I would think. You go three and out, you get back on the field. I want to see what he looks like. We made him out to be J.J. Watt after he got hurt last year in this town.
This is J.J. Watt and John Randall rolled into one, you know, super Voltron defender.
But I would like to see him push the pocket, get a little pressure, get in on a quarterback and force a throwaway on a third down at some point early today.
That'd be fun.
That would be a big deal. Who do you guys want to see? That's what we want to know at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It is Greg Gibson Day on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Redskins Patriots tonight in New England, preseason game number one. Starters won't get a lot of work. That doesn't mean there's not intrigue. You look at the depth chart, you see a lot of youth, a lot of draft picks over the last couple of seasons, and a lot of battles for roster spots. Good competition created, particularly at running back and in the Redskins' secondary. We're asking you right now at 800-636-1067, give us the name of the player you're most glued to tonight that you are most fascinated to watch, and you can't wait to see don the Redskins' uniform. On offense, I went Darius Geis. I think this one's easy. We keep hearing how good he is. Let's see. Mike Shanahan used to tell me all the time, you cannot evaluate running backs in practices. Not in 2000, at that time, 13, 14, 15, because the reason was they don't get tackled to the ground. They can't break tackles. They get touched to play ends or they run to the end zone. That's where we are at this point. When games start, that's when running backs get evaluated. That happens tonight. We'll get our first peek at Darius Geis. On defense, I'm hoping John Allen plays. I'm certainly not sure that that's going to be the case. A lot of times when you have injured guys from the year earlier, you sit them out that first week of the preseason. But if he is on the field, Danny, I will watch him closely. I want to make sure, A, he gets through the game without any issues. But, B, I want to see him push the pocket and use that strength. I want to be reminded of what we were enamored with at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, well said. For me, it's all the new guys. Obviously, Geis is on that list without question. But, I mean, Troy Apke, they got him for special teams. Be special. Let me see something. Adonis Alexander. I want to see if Quinn Blandy can make the club. Danny Johnson. Pete Robertson, a guy that everybody brings up every time we ask about who's made an impact here in this camp. That's the first name out of everybody's mouth. I want to see Sean Dion Hamilton. I want to see some of the returning guys that we know, but the new players like Paul Richardson. I want to see guys I have no data points on, guys that don't really have a file. I know what Richardson looks like in Seattle. It's 2 targets a week on scramble drill deep balls. Is he running hitches? Is he running intermediate routes? Is he, you know, making some third down catches? Is he catching bubble screens? What are we doing? What does it look like?
Probably not going to do all those things in his one or so series. You know, but at least the kids will get to play a bunch of drives, you would think, as the game goes on. Let's go to Jay in D.C. to get started. It's football season, and
Jay.
That means it's Jay season.
Hey,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm sorry. I got to ask you guys this quick question before it becomes irrelevant. You guys hyped up ZZQ so much, I went down there and spent all my money. And I just want to know, like, who has the better ribs, Buzz or ZZQ? I just feel like Buzz ribs was just a little bit better. I really like the beef rib, though, as ZZQ.
So, okay, I think that ZZQ's better than Buzz and Ned's. I really do. I think Buzz and Ned's is more of a touristy spot. I think ZZQ is a slam dunk. However, D Danny was higher on their ribs than I was.
Jay, I loved the pork ribs.
I thought the brisket was the best brisket I've ever had. Danny thought the ribs were the best ribs he'd ever had.
Yeah, I thought everything was better than Buzz except for the ribs, though. I'm just really into Buzz's ribs. I don't know, but all right, let me get to it. I want to see Danny Johnson and Cam Sims. Cam Sims made some really good catches in training camp when I was there for Fan Appreciation Day, and I just want to see if Danny I think it's Danny Johnson can run back kicks because they had Martez, the running back, and he just kept dropping kicks when we were out there and. Everybody just wants to see a good kick returner. Everyone that was there was just, like, so pissed off that they were dropping punts and kicks.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Jay.
Danny Johnson, for those of you not familiar, is a cornerback who's going to try to press his way onto the roster. I think he's in a numbers crunch here, and frankly, I'm not sure that there's a spot for him because you know that at corner right now you've got Quentin Dunbar in, Orlando Scandrick in, Josh Norman in, and Fabian Moreau in. So there's four right there. You might keep five or six. You're definitely going to keep at least five. Adonis Alexander, who they just took in the supplemental round, is not going anywhere, so that's your fifth guy. So now it's a competition between Joshua Holsey, Danny Johnson, Greg Stroman, if you keep a sixth. So that's a square bubble option right there. And the other name that he mentioned.
Squad candidate too.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other name he mentioned is Cam Sims, played wide receiver at Alabama for 4 years. Weirdly enough, never caught more than 14 passes there. Just didn't play a whole lot as a wide receiver getting targeted or options. But he's 6'5", he's 215, he is a huge body.
Yeah, you notice him when you go out to the practice. And, you know, he's obviously not a star, not a household name, but you can't help but see that guy. 6'5", very rangy, really solidly built.
Let's go to Kyle in Fairfax on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Redskins Patriots tonight, what are you watching for?
Hey, guys. To narrow down the cornerback position, I'm specifically watching for Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau. The team is asking a lot from them to step up. I know we have Orlando Scandrick. I really hope he doesn't have to be a full-time starter. I don't think that's why he was brought here. Fabian Moreau is a first-round talent, and I think people sleep on that. I mean, he had a torn pec. He didn't have performance issues. So I hope he can come up and take the position. And at the same time, we saw flashes from Dunbar. That's the weakest position, I think, coming into the season. So I hope one of those guys takes the job and, you know, gives us a reason to feel positive about the cornerback position this year outside of Norman.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
That's a great way to put it, is they've got Scandrick in case it doesn't work out with the other guys. I think they'd rather play the other guys. They'd rather the young players that they've got step up and step in and with higher upside. But that's the kind of stable veteran. If we have to go to Scandrick, we'll go to Scandrick.
We're sitting at Nats Park. To me, Orlando Scandrick is Tom Malone, right? He is the guy, and it's awkward to say it after last night when he got tattooed, but remember that 7 innings, 9 strikeouts last time out, he threw a really good start. He was in AAA, and he was going to be a responder. He was going to be a, in case of emergency, call on him.
Right.
That's the safety net, so to speak.
He's
and by the way,
Jackson.
Yeah, the safety net is not a great safety net.
Right.
It'll keep you from dying,
right?
But you're probably going to get hurt pretty badly if you use it. Quentin Dunbar at 26 years old and Fabian Moreau at 24-year-old. One of those two guys has to step up as an outside corner for this team this year. I can't wait to see Moreau starting tonight. If you remember, I thought he was sensational last preseason. He was very physical, played very tight coverage, made some plays in the secondary.
You couldn't help but notice him, right?
Showed constantly on special teams. I'm with you. But as the year went along, those opportunities went away.
Right.
We really don't know what we have in him here in Washington.
He looks big. You know what I mean? He looks like because especially when he stands outside with some of the other cornerbacks or in you know the cornerback huddles or whatever. Even though he's listed at 6 foot or 6'1", he looks like a big, strong guy that kind of got lost on the way to the safety room. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, he does. He's more of a stout, thick guy. He doesn't have the length of a Dunbar.
Right.
And he's not limmy in any way. He's basically like a dude that lives in the weight room. But I think he can thump a little bit in the run game. I want to see him. I think it's a really good call. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Bob in Manassas. How are you, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Is this me? This is Tom. Hey.
Oh, Tom.
Tom, what's up?
It says Bob in Manassas, which is hilarious.
It's football season, so Bob is definitely, you know, going to pop up.
Yeah.
It's appropriate. Dude, definitely stoked to see Moreau. I think he's going to be silly. But I got my eyes on Ryan Anderson. I think we're really thin at that position, rushing the passer. So if somebody gets hurt, we could be in trouble. So I'd love to see him flash, you know, second-round talent. So that's who I'll be watching.
That's a good one.
So – you know, hopefully he'll do it. And, I like Moreau, too.
I don't know, look, that we're going to take a whole lot out of this. I'm going to be on the air tomorrow with Pete because Danny's heading on vacation first thing in the morning. When Pete and I are addressing this game, and we'll break everybody down in detail and how everyone performed, we're going to make a lot out of not a lot of plays.
Yeah.
And that's all we're going to have to base everything off of. But I will say this about Ryan Anderson. If he gets through tomorrow and he doesn't do anything, whatever. If he gets through this preseason and he hasn't shown something, that's a big problem.
Here's where I'm at on this. And I think you said it very well, but I'm going to make it more complicated because that's what I do. I do the excessively verbose version of what you just said succinctly. You know, in NBA Summer League, when a guy goes for 30, it doesn't mean he can get 30 in the NBA. It just means that he can play, that he belongs. But if he can't do it in Summer League, he can't do it in the NBA. If Ryan Anderson isn't beating the snot out of twos and threes at some point this preseason, that's your concern. If he, you know, shows well and beats a couple guys one-on-one and makes some sacks, it just says, okay, this is still worth developing. It doesn't mean he's arrived and he's about to get double-digit sacks and he's Von Miller 2.0. Nobody's saying that. If he doesn't show well this preseason at some point beating up backups, you got to start to question, can the dude do it at all?
Grant and Danny with you live from Nationals Park here on The Fan. When we were driving in today, we saw a bunch of fans outside of the player parking lot entrance, and I thought, what are they doing? Are they waiting for autographs? And then I realized that's also the entrance Greg Gibson's going to be coming through today, the third base umpire. And you know that he stops and signs for a couple lucky fans each and every time he comes into the ballpark. If you were one of those fans, we'd love to hear from you on Greg Gibson Day.
I hate to correct you, but you said the player parking lot?
Mm-hmm.
It's the umpire parking lot.
Oh, that's my fault.
Right? Because it's closer. It's that much more privileged to be right next to the stadium.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. 800-636-1067 is the number. Redskins-Patriots tonight. What player are you most excited to watch? Next on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Really funny item out of Bears camp. So their backup quarterback is Chase Daniel. He's made $24 million as his time in the NFL, continues as a backup who's never really a threat to be a starter, but now he's backing up the franchise, Mitchell Trubisky, who they traded up for at number two. Big year coming up for Trubisky, by the way.
Yeah.
He's got to show a little more than he did last season. He's got a lot more weapons around him.
Well, they're going to try to let him play some offense because they were terrified of what he might do.
That can help.
If they open up the keys and let him actually drive the car out of the cul-de-sac.
They can run the ball, too. Jordan Howard's really good.
And Tariq Cohen on the backfield's nice.
They should be able to dump the ball down to Cohen. They should be able to move the ball through the air. But their backup quarterback, Chase Daniel, wore a bucket hat and a jersey and tried to get autographs from a bunch of the players at training camp as they kind of came down the line signing autographs. So a few of them noticed that it was him and like stopped and either signed and laughed or didn't sign. But it was just him in glasses and a bucket hat and his big beard and a Bears jersey. Might even be his jersey. I honestly don't know. It would be funnier if it was his. But apparently Mitch Trubisky just walked by nonchalantly, not looking up, not really paying any attention, signed an autograph for him and kept moving.
And then went, Wait, who was that? And then somebody told him, yeah, that was him, but he couldn't stop laughing.
Trubisky's jersey, by the way, as I look
perfect
at it now. So, good bit that took place. Speaking of the preseason, though, as it goes on for the Redskins, game number one, they are away from Richmond. They break up the monotony, and they play some real football tonight. For a lot of young players, they embark now on a reality show where they're vying for several hundred thousand dollars. They're trying to win one of a couple of roster spots that are up for grabs here. Kyle's in Germantown, has a couple players he wants to clue in on and keep tabs on tonight. What's up, buddy? Thank you for the call.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Tonight, I'm really looking forward to see how Tim Settle performs. Obviously, last year, the lack of depth is the reason why they were one of the worst teams against the run last year. And if Tim Settle tonight can contribute and crush the pocket, be able to move the passer around it, but also be able to clog up the run game, it's going to be huge for the Redskins because it's a copycat league. And as you saw with the Philadelphia Eagles last year, if you have a plethora of depth on the defensive line and quality depth, it can really benefit the entire team, especially the secondary and the linebackers.
Hey, Kyle, you know my philosophy on Tim Settle. If you are a team with four defensive linemen, you need a fifth, and you got five, you need six. I feel the same way about pass rushers. They drafted him in the fifth round. He was 163rd pick this year. He's only 21 years old. And when we saw him at camp, to me, I kept saying to you, he looks like what a dominant NFL defensive tackle looks like at 20. I mean, he is a kind of just a pudgy, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but he's like a baby fat version of like a Gilbert Brown or a Vince Wilfork. He's massive. He's listed 6'3", 335. He might be 340 pounds. If he can turn some of that just baby fat into man strength and muscle, he could be an immovable object. I mean, he could be a massive force. This is a guy who had four sacks, who had several tackles for loss last season and over the last couple of years. In fact, he had 12.5 last year and 19.5 total over 2 years at Virginia Tech. Those numbers shatter what Daron Payne was doing. Now, I know they were used a little bit differently, but he can shed blocks because he's so big, Danny. I want to see him tonight.
I do, too. That's a great one. We hadn't mentioned him as yet, and that's an oversight on our part. I mean, your assessment is right on. I looked at him, and you could see that maybe for a couple plays, and this was kind of the wrap on him, right? A couple plays, he could probably go hard. But because he's not in unbelievable shape, maybe he's going to take a play off or, you know, maybe not give you the max effort every time because he physically probably can't do it. Still got some of that baby fat, as you kind of alluded to. He looks like a guy that's, such a worthwhile project, but it's like a year away from that article that we're going to read about how he changed his diet and hired a yoga instructor and took Pilates and, cut out the McDonald's or whatever the hell it is, right? And then he turns into a dominant player. It's a great pick. Because I'm with you, obviously, on my defensive line philosophy. But the other part is, he could be a worthwhile part of your rotation now. Meaning, if you go, Tim, here's your job. You're going to play for 20 plays. We're going to treat you like a fourth line checking line on the hockey team. I want you to come in and give me maximum effort for 20 plays. Go crush some people. Hit the guy in front of you as hard as you possibly can. Make him go, oh, another one, like a fresh wave after wave after wave. So we don't have to kill guys running them down playing 60, 70 snaps. Give me 20 plays super hard. You'll graduate to 30 plays super hard, 40 plays super hard one day. You could be a stalwart in this league. I think he's got a chance, and it's a great pick by the Redskins because if it doesn't work out, it's the right philosophy to me.
Yeah, if it blows up in your face, that means a guy didn't make the roster and it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's a fifth rounder, right?
So what? I mean, a lot of fifth rounders don't make the squad. I'm with you. Trey Quinn, someone I'm going to be keeping an eye on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Quinn is a wide receiver who started his college career at LSU and then transferred to SMU, had to sit out the 2016 season. So he's a little bit older as a rookie than you'd think, but the seventh rounder who went 256 overall, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. We caught up with him at camp. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Really confident, very funny, very outgoing and personable. Just did a lot of bits and shtick that normally a rookie wouldn't be doing. A lot of times those guys answer with 8-9 words at a time. They get right back into the locker room. They don't want anything to do with anybody. I mean, he was holding court with us for 10 minutes. I want him to make the roster. He can return kicks and punts. He did it in college. I don't know if he's good enough right now to play slot in the NFL, frankly. I think he's probably a guy that gets deactivated more often than not on game days. Maybe he starts on the practice squad. But what if he goes out and he plays a half tonight and he catches 6 or 7 balls? And it's the first time of a few games this August where he shows enough as the guy who led the nation in catches last year with 114 that it becomes increasingly difficult to get him onto the practice squad because somebody might have a need on their 53-man roster for a fourth or fifth receiver who can play special teams. That's what's at stake for him.
Yeah.
This is a guy last year who had 115 touches in that SMU offense.
You can't do that by accident, man.
No. He was a factor. He was a fixture. They designed plays and packages around him at a pretty good level of college football. Speed isn't great. I want to see quickness. I want to see if he's kind of shifty at the line. That first step, is he explosive? Is he able to beat people inside off the line of scrimmage? Those are the types of things I want to see.
He's not, and this sounds crazy, but the modern slot receiver is smaller than Trey Quinn. He's not a big guy by any stretch. He's a little bit taller than me and obviously in NFL shape. But if you just saw him in the street, you go, oh, that's a pretty nice in shape guy. Maybe he's a trainer at my local gym. He doesn't look like he's kind of in between what the NFL wide receiver is these days, right? You're either 5'10", 180, 5'9", 175 like Crowder, or you're 6'2", 6'3", a big, you know, gazelle like Josh Doctson. He's in between that. So he's not what the slot receiver is at this stage. I'm thinking he may end up being kind of a overlooked hybrid of the two, if that makes any sense, right? Where he's your backup slot guy, he's your backup outside guy. To me, where he's going to make his best impact, I'm hoping, is on teams.
Oh, no, Danny. I got bad news.
What's that?
I got really bad news.
What is it?
So I went over to the Nats team store this morning, and there were no Greg Gibson jerseys.
Sold out.
Available.
Sold out, obviously.
So I'm guessing they all got bought last night, and I don't think they're going to get a new shipment in today. But there were no Greg Gibson jerseys anywhere to be had in the Nats team store. So send a letter to your local congressperson. We need Greg Gibson jerseys in stock at the stadium as soon as possible. Why else do we come to this ballpark after all? We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Are the Nats playing for their postseason lives today? If they lose to the Braves and they drop 3 out of 4 here at Nats Park, are they cooked? Are they done? Let's open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. Hey, Nats fans, you just saw that Redskins fans did their job. Filled the phone lines.
Do your job.
Now it's your turn here on The Fan. Nats Braves today right here on 106.7 The Fan at 105. The game will not be televised. It is exclusively broadcast on social media, which means no Masson, which means only 106.7 The Fan and Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. So make sure you're listening. If you're getting to the ballpark, you got to hurry. I mean, gates are opening in 10 minutes. An umpire batting practice starts right at about 11:05 today. I believe Greg Gibson will be in the cage first. Now, hopefully he's going to wear his uniform with his number so that Joe Simpson knows which umpire is in the cage.
He ran his attire past Joe Simpson.
But Greg Gibson will be hitting right after 11, so if you're hoping to get a Greg Gibson foul ball or a home run ball, you're going to have to get here right at about 11 and sprint straight into the left field bleachers as he is a right-handed hitting umpire.
And speaking of Joe, did you catch Joe Simpson on the way in? He was checking IDs on the way in, like everybody. Yeah, he was looking at ages because he's an expert.
That's a good bit.
Thank you.
It's not too shabby.
Just came up with that one in my brain.
By the way, I got a tweet here from Bill, who says he went to the game last night and getting Greg Gibson's gear was all his two sons could talk about. The 10-year-old wants a poster of him for his room. Now, here's the problem is they stopped selling those posters here at the ballpark not long ago. You can go through, I believe, MLB.com or Authentics, perhaps, and get a Greg Gibson poster for your bedroom if you still want to. But I have not seen any at the ballpark all year.
So I saw a kid the other day, Grant. This was special. You're, of course, familiar with the Mean Joe Green. Thanks, Mean Joe, you know, when Joe Green threw him the towel. Greg Gibson's shin protector. He takes it off after he umpires a really, really flawed game where his zone was horse crap on stilts underneath the tire fire. And he argued with a bunch of people all day. It's their fault, not his, that his zone was got awful and egregious. And if he went back and tried to improve his performance, it wouldn't happen. But, no, he can't be held accountable or have to answer any questions post-game. Anyway, he took his shin guard after his terrible zone, and he flipped it into the stands, and this kid caught it. He was like, wow, thanks, Greg Gibson. And Gibson didn't even look at the guy because he knew what he'd done. I mean, he knew that he was so important.
Life.
And he was, I believe his quote was, I'm bigger than the game. I'm Greg bleeping Gibson. I'm Greg bleeping Gibson.
Are we allowed to make the big announcement that we were supposed to make, shtick aside about Greg Gibson?
Dude, we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. But is the cat out of the bag?
I think it is.
Do we have to just do it?
So CK is going to be furious, and the Nationals might even be upset. And I'm going to apologize to everybody in advance for that. But this is our show, and occasionally we have to do things the way we want to do them.
Yep.
So sorry to the president of baseball ops, Mike Rizzo, and the business crew and everybody.
I can't believe you're doing this.
CK, Nationals Park is going to be home to the 2019 MLB All-Umpires game.
Yes!
Huh?
Can you believe it?
Back-to-back years.
There's a banner over there.
Yes.
There's a banner over there.
We weren't supposed to break the news, but we have,
Danny. We just did it anyway.
The 2019 All-Umpires game. And you guys are very familiar with this game when the umpires get together. There's no players on the field, but they just, you know, they kind of mimic ball and strike calls, and they do big, emphatic strikeout calls, and they kind of stand on first and third base. There's no action going on, but everyone gets together. We watch the umpires do their jobs. It's the All-Umpire game. Greg Gibson is going to be in the game because no one makes it more about himself than him over the last 24 hours, so he got the nod.
And we always talk about what you want to see. Like, has Joe West puffed his chest out today? You get to see it. Has C.B. Buckner taken his mask off and yell at a dugout because of the 37th bad strike and ball call that he's made before the third inning ends? You get to see that. Angel Hernandez kicking a call where a guy was out by 5 feet. He calls him safe. It's Angel's day, even though it's all ghost runners. It's all imaginary. It's just umpires umping, man. And what's beautiful this year, and again, we're not supposed to talk about any of this, but the cat's out of the bag. You can hear the excitement in my voice.
Now we've said it. We've done it. We didn't make the announcement. If anyone asks, it wasn't this show that you heard it from.
In between some of the umpiring, this is going to happen, and I can't believe this is the first year they've done this. It's a big crossover because both sports are looking for a good pub here. NFL referees are going to be offering lengthy explanations of penalty calls in between the umpires umping.
Very
the umpires umping show, soliloquy from Ed Hockley. I mean, what a day. What a day for sports fans. What a day for America.
Well, and this is going to be a historical year for the all-umpire game as well, because they are doing the umpire derby the night before as well. And so they're hoping that they can find a local, maybe someone from the D.C. area, to participate in that derby and try to really bring everyone to their feet.
To ramp it up, yeah.
Which I think would be exciting. But think about all of the revenue generated in this town, all of the excitement. You see all these cranes. I mean, double this. Because the all-umpire game coming here is huge for business. It's huge for development. This is massive for the Southeast Anacostia River area economy. And it really is all thanks to guys like Greg Gibson.
It really is. It's Greg Gibson's event. I mean, that's why you pay the big bucks to see it. And as a bonus, you know the MLB has the Futures game, Home Run Derby, the different stuff, Celebrity Rock and Jock type
softball
stuff.
Are we going to have a Futures umpire game?
We are. We have a Futures
game. No way.
Game.
On Sunday? So all the minor league umps, Danny?
So there's a high school bully right now,
oh
a self-important turd, who is just the worst. Everyone hates him. I mean, like the kind of prospect this kid is, you got to see him. He's 18 years old.
Definitely got picked on in high school.
Nobody likes him, okay? No one. No one enjoys his company, but he believes he should be the prom king. Even though he doesn't want to go to prom, even though he didn't have a date. So he's going to be here. Like, he's not there yet. He's raw. Like, he doesn't know. He didn't have a strike three call yet. He doesn't know whether he wants to, like, punch the teddy bear, tear the phone book, or, you know, kind of do a Leslie Nielsen moonwalk sort of for a strike call.
I think he's going to punch the sidecar.
You might see him punch a sidecar. He's got to step back. That's the guy strike call. But it's awesome. It really is exciting. And I think we're going to have soccer referees blow their whistle many times, run up and shake their finger, no, 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 because somebody dove. And that's going to be exciting.
The other thing I heard is there's going to be a couple guys coming over from Audi Field who are just going to come out occasionally and spray little lines on the field for no reason. It's going to be pretty cool.
Right.
So they're going to take out little spray paint from or whatever that little can of whatever that is.
It's temporary spray paint. Yeah,
they're going to just spray it right there on the field. And they're going to have guys stand there.
That's
right
the area where you have to go.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's going to be
a really
exciting time for everyone. We're all very honored. That 106.7, the fan's going to be all over the coverage.
We're hosting it.
Danny and I are going to be on the field pregame for all of the events. And
NBA referees announcing big charge calls. The whole thing, man.
I've already gotten two texts from our boss, CK, who is furious that we made this announcement. I have gotten a call from an area code. That
I just
looks,
got a missed call. I'm not kidding
did you.
Yeah.
It looks to me like the Washington Nationals' main number called me. Someone's very upset. I'm sure that we let the cat out of the bag. But here's the deal, guys. This is about you. You're our listeners. We need to get information to you first. We act and apologize later on this show.
We do.
Because this is about getting you information, and you guys love Greg Gibson. And you come to this ballpark for the umpires, and for that reason, we wanted to make sure you were first in line to get your tickets, because these are going to sell out. Matter of fact, I'm being told there's only a couple tickets left for the 2019 All-Umpires game, which is only 11 months away at this point. So get your hands on them immediately, guys, if you can. We are Grant and Danny. We will talk a little baseball next. The Nats and the Braves, Nationals playing in some ways to save their season. Is that overstated? Do you think the campaign is on the line? We'll ask you that question next at 800-636-1067. In about 20 minutes, we're going to get right back into the Redskins on day one of their preseason as they head to New England to take on the Patriots. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.